I wanted to kind of do a turn to the slippery slope of assisted suicide, because we seem to be sliding down this fast, because we've seen a number of stories come to light in just the last few weeks revealing people with disabilities, people who can't make ends meet, maybe have mental health issues, are apparently turning to assisted suicide as an answer, and the doctors are signing off on it. Now Global News is reporting that a Canadian veteran was offered assisted dying by a Veterans Affairs caseworker after discussing a brain injury and mental health issues. The question then becomes, how often is this happening and who else has it been recommended to? Mercedes Stevenson is our Global News Ottawa Bureau Chief. It's been a long time. It is great to have you.
Great to be back, Alex. Thanks for having me.
This is a heck of a story on a number of levels, but what can you tell us about what your investigation revealed?
So what we've been able to confirm happened with multiple sources, including Veterans Affairs Canada, that this is an accurate story we're about to tell you, as shocking as it is. A veteran who had service-related injuries due to combat he sustained in the service of Canada called Veterans Affairs Canada looking for treatment for his PTSD and his traumatic brain injury, both of which have absolutely been medically diagnosed and confirmed. While he was discussing the treatments he hoped to pursue, unprompted, this Veterans Affairs agent offers him medically assisted suicide as an option. Medically assisted death is, is the correct term for it. And this really threw the veteran, according to multiple sources who we talked to. PTSD, obviously a factor, mental health concerns, and he's calling, asking for the government to help him with things that happened to him because he served Canada. And what he's being offered is, well, you know, we might be able to help you with that, and we have these options. But what you know, sources close to him tell me he felt was happening was them saying, well, or, you know, you could perhaps choose to take your own life. That's an option too. And he was extremely upset about that, according to people who are close to him. This has relayed to significant concern in the veterans community about whether this individual who was on the other end of the phone of him, with him, who had no qualifications to be offering this kind of option, has potentially offered this to other veterans. Are there other veterans caseworkers out there who are offering this to their clients? There's a real concern in the veterans community because there is such a sensitivity around mental health and moral injuries that have been sustained in war, that can make veterans extremely vulnerable. There's concern that this could push veterans into considering something that they wouldn't have previously because they're not the one bringing it up. And these are people who are totally unqualified to be talking about this. So the only people who are supposed to be discussing medically assisted dying with a patient is primary care providers like their doctor or their psychiatrist, not a bureaucrat on the other end of the phone. So it's obviously a really disturbing situation for veterans, and we're trying to get to the bottom of exactly what happened here. We know that BAC has apologized to this veteran repeatedly, but only after he lodged multiple complaints about what had happened.
That's crazy. I mean, you know, from your military sexual misconduct investigations that you broke for Global News, there's never one story. And so this is one of those, will his story lead to others coming forward? And if this is a common practice, I mean, it's not okay with one person, but if it becomes that we're hearing this as a trend, I don't know how you fix this. I mean, that takes us to a whole new area of ethics and laws in this country that we have not been down, the road we've not been down.
Yeah, and we've talked to Veterans Affairs about this, and they say, look, this is absolutely not something that a service agent on the other end of the phone should be offering. But they wouldn't answer our questions about whether this individual may have offered it to other veterans, if they found that in their investigation, whether they have found other individuals who have offered this to veterans, how often that might have happened, or about information around veterans accessing medically assisted death resources through BAC. BAC says it's not a service they provide, but if it's requested, they can then help to access those resources. So we couldn't get any answers on any of those numbers. They did say in this case they're investigating and there will be administrative action taken against this individual because they should never have brought this up. They are not qualified. They are not allowed to do that. But they wouldn't tell us what the investigation has shown, and they wouldn't tell us what appropriate administrative action, pardon me, looked like, because they were citing privacy concerns.
Of course.
And veterans are saying, look, we need to know what's actually happening here. How seriously is this department taking it? They say they're taking it very seriously, that they acknowledge the harm that this has caused to this veteran and to his family, that this has been a very destabilizing experience for he and his family to go through. But there's not a lot of information forthcoming. Frankly, though, Alex, I'll say I was surprised they even admitted that this had actually happened.
Yeah, I mean, I was too, frankly. Maybe they realize they can't deny this. I think the question then becomes, and obviously you're going to keep digging into it, is, you know, how often is this happening? Is it happening in other government, you know, files? But, you know, we're starting to see a disturbing trend, Mercedes, where this slippery slope of people who have mental health illnesses or maybe disabilities are being recommended something that they don't qualify for. And you know, this is going to become very much a Trudeau government problem, questioning about guardrails on this.
You know, that's been an issue that has absolutely been raised by advocates in the disabled community. There has been questions raised by folks from low-income communities who are worried about who exactly this is going to be offered to. And there are checks and balances in place. Mm-hmm. You don't just walk into your doctor's office and say, I want medically assistance in dying, and you know, they inject you that day. There is a process to go through. But there are very real concerns about either like what happened in this case, where an individual offers it to someone who is not looking for it, and who may be vulnerable as a result of their mental health or some other form of disability, and what checks and balances are in place to make sure that this is being carefully administered. So it's a big issue. It's a very emotional issue for people. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly a very emotional issue for the veterans community, who feel like this is somebody who served Canada, who wanted help. He did not want help in dying. He wanted help in getting better. If he wanted help in dying, that would be his choice, and veterans respect that. But for somebody who was seeking help in injuries he sustained because he served his country, and instead being offered medical assistance in dying, that has just got the community enraged.
No question about it. All right. Great work. We'll look forward to your reporting on this tonight at 6:30 on Global National. Appreciate it, Mercedes.
Thanks, Alex.
Mercedes Stevenson joining us, and again, she'll have full details on this story on Global National at 6:30. But, you know, again, once the dam breaks on this, that's when people start to come forward and realize, oh, it happened to me, or it happened to you, whatever. But this is not what medically assisted death was brought in for. This is not what Canadians signed on to when it became legislation in 2016. This was always supposed to be about giving gravely ill people a choice to end their life with dignity. But we are hearing more and more of these kinds of stories. We've heard of a number of stories of late in Toronto where you've got people on disabilities, people who are living on ODSP, who, of course, you can't live on that. They have no help, no hope. They're turning to programs like MAID. Or you've got mental health patients turning to me. This is not what this system was set up for. And this is raising eyebrows right around the world, with critics saying, and rightfully, I think, questioning that the Canadian health system seems to be actively killing disabled patients. It is being written about all over the international media. Tim Stainton, who is the director of University of BC's Canadian Institution for Inclusion and Citizenship, called our medical assistance in dying, quote, probably the biggest existential threat to disabled people since the Nazis program in Germany in the 1930s. I mean, that's quite a statement to make. But again, when we're hearing people who have a mental health issue, or a veteran who goes in with a brain injury and mental health issues, who just needs help or supports, or financial supports, well, why don't you just die? I mean, that is not okay. And I don't know any Canadian who would feel comfortable with it. And I think it's important to note that, you know, this year earlier, the Quebec Superior Court actually got the Trudeau government to sign on to widen eligibility to sick Canadians who weren't necessarily at death's door. And so legislation next year is, you know, supposed to expand to further include Canadians with mental health illness. Yeah, I think we need to be very, very careful about this. I don't know how anyone could be okay with that. People with mental health illness are not to be put down or gotten rid of. We put in supports. We help them. But I got a role. I think a lot of people would have a real moral and ethical dilemma on this if this continues and we continue seeing headlines. So we'll keep watching because, boy, oh, boy, does the military have some big, big problems. But if this is actually going on, there's many who have some explaining to do.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.